This is Ozarks at Large. If you lived around here in 1980, you might remember when Kenneth Staton and his daughter Suzanne were murdered at the Van Buren Jewelry Store owned by the Staton family. The crime rocked the city and the region. Kenneth Staton had established his store, the only jewelry store in Van Buren at the time, after years of hard work and living with rheumatoid arthritis. The crime, in the investigation that stretched from Crawford County to Atlanta to Florida and Canada, is the subject of the new book, Closing Time, by Anita Paddock. Anita was born in Van Buren and has lived in the Van Buren-Fort Smith area for years. She's taught creative writing, she's worked in the Fort Smith library system, worked in a bookstore, and taught American history. Anita's also written a previous book about a crime in the Arkansas River Valley titled Blind Rage. This week, I met Anita Paddock at the Fort Smith Library to talk about her latest book. She says this crime, the murders and the robbery, took formation when two men met for the first time a week earlier at a campground at Beaver Lake and decided to rob the store.
They scoped that out. They watched who drove the car, what cars, when they left, when they came. And so then they went on up to Beaver Lake, and they were there camping when they met Richard Anderson and his girlfriend, whom had picked up at a carnival. And she was riding on the back of his motorcycle, and they were camping out at the same camping place, and that's where they met. And Peterson asked Anderson if he'd like to make some money, and Anderson said yes, because he only had $5 in his pocket, and he said yes, and they proceeded with their plan. And the reason Anderson was picked is because he had some transportation that was reliable. And Anderson had a motorcycle. Peterson's car was an old blue Cadillac that had something wrong with it, and they were pulling a camper on the back. And so that's why he was picked, and that's when they hooked up, which, of course, was the worst thing that could have ever happened to Anderson, because he wasn't the model citizen, but he came from a wonderful family. His daddy was an IBM engineer, and he was just a motorcycle guy who was pretty damn wild.
This is a true story, but for readers' sakes, I don't want to give too much away. But early, the murders in the book, the murders take place, and you recount as much as you can the final seconds of the victims' lives. How did you write that chapter?
That was a very hard chapter to write. In fact, it wasn't in the book I turned in to the publisher. I just couldn't bear to write it. I didn't want to write it because I didn't want to. The family, I interviewed the family, the mother and two sisters, and I at first told them I wasn't going to do that, I wasn't going to put that scene in the book. But my publishers convinced me that I needed to have it in there, and I agreed. I know that when I read true crime books, I like to know as much about it as I can. So I was convinced, and then I wrote the scene. And I cried while I was writing that scene, and I wasn't really sure. I didn't know Suzanne, and I wasn't sure how she spoke, what she said. I knew she was a teeny tiny little girl. I knew that she was a good student. She was going to school and working at her daddy's store. So I wrote some things out. And then her big sister, Karen, I asked her if she would read them and asked her, would your sister say this? Would your sister have said that? And there were some things that she had me change because she said, I don't think Suzanne would have said that. And so I changed because Karen was the closest person I had to know what her little sister would have said. I was given the opportunity to write it from either her point of view, Suzanne's point of view, or her daddy's. I knew well enough to know that I couldn't write a scene from a man's point of view. In the writing game, that's real hard to do, to write from the opposite sex. And so I knew I had to use Suzanne. And anyway, it was a difficult scene to write.
True crime books are popular, have been for a long time. They sell very well. You go back to Truman Capote and In Cold Blood. But many of the writers might be from a different place, and they hear about a crime and then they research it. You've written two now about where we are, where you are. What sort of line do you have to make sure? Because readers, either distanced by time or geography, want to know, like you said, as much as possible. But you are writing about people you know and have known.
For me, knowing the people involved is and how they reacted and how they lived, how they survived, that's more important than the crime as far as a reader goes. I've always loved true crime, and I was always more interested in why somebody killed someone, why that happened, and ooh, you know, what did the family do later? How did they survive? And so that's what I liked, and that's just what I wanted to write about. And knowing the people involved just makes it easier. And I'm from Van Buren. I still have lots of friends who live in Van Buren. People are very, very willing and able to help me in my research.
We've had crime in this area before the two crimes you've written about, and certainly since. Many of the crimes that involve fatalities tend to be familial, family, or something like that. What is very disturbing about the crime detailed in Closing Time is it wasn't that. It was premeditated. This jewelry store was staked out. It's the kind of crime that I think for some of us is the scariest, because it is nothing that the victims can do about it.
Right, nothing that they can do. And Mr. Staten had always insisted that there be two people at Closing Time. He had always told the people who worked there, don't cause any trouble. If we are ever robbed, you just give them what they ask. He did not keep a gun in the store. He said he didn't want to hurt anybody. He wouldn't want to kill anybody. And so I guess in a sense they had thought about it, and I suppose every jewelry store in America, in the world, thinks about it. That was their plan, and these people chose Closing Time because that's when they would be emptying the cash drawer, they'd be loading up the jewelry, they'd be all busy getting ready to put everything in the back room, in the safes. They had two safes back in their back room and their work room. And so that was just a bad time, and these robbers knew it.
One of the keys for the investigation to find the men who committed the murders is a woman who didn't particularly like to talk to police, but she really spurs the investigation on and leads to the capture.
I wish I could find her. In fact, this morning I had a really good source of information looking for her. I'd like to find her and hug her neck and say, lady, I know it was embarrassing for you to have to admit what happened, but if you had not come forth and told the police what you knew, those guys would have never, ever been caught. But I can't find her. I wish I could. The Statons would like to, but I don't know where she is now.
I'm sure, now with two, first it was Blind Rage, now Closing Time, I'm sure you're getting people at book signings and other things saying, hey, you know what you ought to do. I'm sure there's no end of suggestions for what a third book or a fourth or a fifth should be.
Well, at the time that these two crimes happened, the Blind Rage and the closing time, there was another crime. And I feel like I just have to do it. It involved four people who were killed and murdered and their bodies found in Van Buren in the Kibler Bottoms. And so there again, I have to gather up information and see if I can do it. And then I need to talk to the people, the victims, and see if they will talk to me. And so I'm in the process of doing that now. But because of going to all these book signings and people saying, you know, as I'm signing one book, someone's saying, well, what's your next book going to be? So I've already told them this is my plan. So people are coming out and saying, well, I knew so-and-so, and I was in nurse's training with one of the victims. And so I keep gathering up information, and I said, well, write it down on a little sheet of paper. So I've got a basket on my desk at home full of little scrap sheets of paper that when I'm through doing all of my book signings and for closing time, I'll start gathering those up and start calling on people.
I'm talking with Anita Paddock about her latest book, Closing Time, The True Story of Robbery and a Double Murder in Van Buren. Okay, so now I'm going to make a suggestion for your fourth book. Or actually, I'm just very curious about what the feeling was, the zeitgeist in Van Buren in this 18 to 24-month period when three sensational crimes happened in a small town that, given its rough, Western, legendary history, was still a high homicide rate. Do you have any recollection? Did people think it was the town was going downhill?
Yesterday, when I was at a book signing in Van Buren, when I got through talking, this first thing one lady said, and she was a school teacher. She and I had gone to high school together, so I knew her. And she said, "Well, I'll tell you what I did. I bought a gun." I said, "You bought a gun?" And then I asked the crowd, I said, "Were you all scared when all this happened?" And everybody, well, not everybody, because not everybody was living in Van Buren then, but a whole lot of people nodded their head yes. They were afraid because in a nine-month period, these horrendous murders had happened in their hometown, Van Buren, Arkansas, which really was a peaceful little town across the river from Fort Smith. People, you know, if you went out to eat or if you went to the movie, you went to Fort Smith. But here Van Buren was, and so people were afraid. They were really afraid. Ruth Staten told me that at that night of the murders that there were people just milling in their front yard, just people who just, they didn't know what to do, they didn't know what to think, they just went to their yard and they just stood around in little knots of people, some crying and the men, you know, mad and they just didn't know what was going on with this town and how could this happen. It really did frighten people.
I read Carl Hiaasen and Elmore Leonard and several other crime writers that write about fictional crimes, and it will take me a while to get through the book because I'm busy. When I get to something like Closing Time, True Crime, I usually read it in a day. So you have people who read what took you months or longer to write in a day or two, and then they're ready for the next one. That would seem to be quite the challenge. Like you said, the person at the book signing, what's next?
Yeah. Well, I guess that's just the name of the game. And I just, you know, I want to say, would you just let me enjoy this? But I don't, because I'm writing a book.
I was going to say, no writer has ever said, please don't read my books.
Yeah. I'm saying, you know, and I'm writing my name on this book, and they're asking me what's next. And so then I lift up my pen, and I say, well, you remember those crimes and the bodies were found in Kibler? Oh, yes. I know so-and-so. My ex-husband worked at such-and-such, you know. I'm gathering information. And here in Crawford County, the county in which I was born and grew up, I'm finding all sorts of people who do indeed read my book in one day, and they tell me that, and they, oh, I loved your book, I read it in one day. That seems to be like they're happy to say that, and I'm happy that they read my book in one day, and I really thought about saying, do you realize how long it took me to write that? I'm glad that they can pick up a book of mine and read it and not put it down and think, oh, I'll read this later, or I'll save this for next summer when I go to the beach.
Any idea what kind of play the book has beyond Crawford County, the Arkansas River Valley, Northwest Arkansas, where maybe people have never even heard of Van Buren?
Well, I don't know about Closing Time. But I do know about Blind Rage. I do know that it was in the international seller. This winter I got an email, or I guess it was a Facebook message, from a lady in Michigan, and she had checked out Blind Rage at her library in Michigan, and she called and she wrote to tell me how much she loved it. And I thought, man, that is the coolest thing. My book is on a library shelf in Michigan.
Well, the name of the book is Closing Time. Anita Paddock, congratulations. I'm not going to rush you, but when the third book is out, we'll meet here again at the Fort Smith Library. How's that?
That'll be great, Kyle. That will be great. And I got to do it, and I'm hopeful that I'll be able to. And, you know, I'm in the twilight of my life here, so I thank you very much. I hope to see you in about 2 years.
Anita Paddock's new book is titled Closing Time. You can find out much more about her and her books at anitapaddock.com and at her Facebook page. Our conversation took place earlier this week in the Carnegie Room at the Fort Smith Public Library System's main library.